The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
You're on Radio South, the 96.4 and Coast Access Radio, all the way up in Kapiti. Because this is Grinding Gears with Pete
and Aaron,
your weekly show about cars and drivers, enthusiasts and the obsessed. First up this evening, we're looking at Mazda's Rotary Range Extender, so keep on listening.
Glycerine.
back on Grinding Gears with Pete
and Darren.
Radio South at 96.4 and Coast Access Radio Capiti. And Mazda's MX-30 REV with a rotary engine is to debut in 2023. But the rotary engine returns as a range extender only.
Yeah, after years of waiting and rumours, Mazda finally revived its rotary. The MX-30 REV with the Wankel engine is a range extender debuts at the Brussels Motor Show on January 13, 2023.
Don't get this confused with the revived RX-7 though, despite the RX-9 renderings and rumours that we've seen last year and probably the year before. The rotary engine operates at a constant speed to serve as a range extender for recharging the battery. And Mazda positions the solution as having the benefits of an electric drivetrain, but with the range of a combustion power plant.
Yeah, range is a weakness of the existing MX-30 EV. It's a 35.5 kilowatt hour battery, offers an EPA estimated range of 100 miles. It's 161 kilometers. The MX-30 uses a single engine, single electric motor, making 144 horsepower or 107 kilowatts and 200 pound feet or 271 newton meters of torque. Acceleration to 60 miles per hour or 96 kilometers per hour. So that's 60 miles is 96 kilometers per hour, and that requires 9.6 seconds.
The displacement of the rotary engine, the MX-30 REV, isn't yet available, so it's also not clear whether Mazda would increase the electric motor's output to offset the weight of the additional engine.
Yeah, in 2020, Mazda said an MX-30 with a rotary range extender was under consideration. The company made the plan official later that year. As of 2021, the automaker intended to offer this variant of the EV to the in the US. No word whether it'll end up here, though.
Yeah, hopefully. But old Mazda and the Wankel engine have had a close relationship. The company originally licensed the tech from NSU, and engineers at Japanese firm worked to improve the power plant. The Cosmo debuted at the 1964 Tokyo Motor Show as a premiere of the rotary-powered Mazda. Full production did not start until 1967, and of course you get models like the RX-3 to the RX-7 and actually made the rotary more accessible.
However, the fuel combustion and the exhaust emissions of the rotary remain sticking points throughout the engine's life. These factors were among the reasons why the RX-8 was the last Wankel car to date available to customers from Mazda, and that went away in 2012.
Yeah, well, there are certainly plenty hanging around the mechanics, as yes, some just didn't know how to maintain them quite right. Mazda engineers never gave up on the rotary, though. We've seen a variety of patents and heard rumours about the Wankel's continued development over the years.
Yeah, but sticking with the JDM and the Honda says no to EVs with manual transmissions. That includes a simulated manual transmission similar to the one Toyota recently patented.
Yeah, well, while other automakers such as Mercedes have already stopped selling cars with manual transmissions, Honda's actually one of the few brave enough to sell a car that's manual only, the old Civic Type R.
But that doesn't mean you can expect future sporty Honda EVs to offer a manual. In fact, the company recently confirmed that you shouldn't hold your breath waiting for a Honda EV with any sort of manual.
Well, speaking to Car and Driver, a magazine at a roundtable interview, Honda CEO Toshihiro Mibe and Shinji Aoyama, Honda's head of electrification, threw cold water on the idea of a sporty EV with a traditional manual or even a simulated one. Artificially, they can do it. Mechanically, it's not easy.
If you're confused by the idea of an artificial manual transmission in an electric vehicle, it would likely be similar to the system Toyota recently patented that includes a clutch, a gear shifter, and virtual gear ratios to mimic the feeling of driving a traditional manual. Aoyama doesn't like that approach, saying that it was an idea was like an extension of an active sound control.
That said, still Honda. Honda still plans to offer EVs that are fun to drive. Mibe says he wants Honda EVs to be edgy and drive differently than the competition. But like Aoyama, he likes the idea of direct drive better, saying, I'm not sure if we can replace the manual transmission.
Instead, Honda plans to focus on battery technology, as well as packaging, programming, and overall engineering of electric motors with direct drive units as important differentiating factors for electric vehicles and how they feel on the road.
Fair enough. Presumably they're talking about sportier electric cars, not the upcoming Honda Prologue EV, which is actually built on GM's Ultium platform. Honda recently admitted it would drive pretty much the same as any other crossover built on the same platform.
USDM, of course, but coming back to the shores of New Zealand, and now good old NZTA proposes sweeping state highway speed limit decreases.
Bureaucracy BS, because Wakatahi NZTA have proposed sweeping speed limit decreases on state highways around the country, saying it's our responsibility to do better. Comes as this year's road tolls surpassed 2021's tally with just under a month ago.
Yeah, the Ministry of Transport reports that this year's road toll to date is 321, with a total of 318 for 2021 and the same for 2020. In an announcement the other day, Waka Kotahi said speed limits were first set before we knew what was safe and appropriate on our roads.
Nothing about the degradation of the roads, but anyway, the agency's interim state highway speed management plan, apparently open for consultation till December 12th, proposes speed limits be reduced around the country to ensure we're protecting the people and communities we care about. Full details and possible changes should be available on the website.
Yeah, they would affect road networks in every region, with state highway speed limits around schools and marais in particular focus on the plan. They reckon it will affect just over 500 kilometres of state highway in 440 locations, around 4% of the 11,000-kilometre state highway network. It said changes were proposed outside 269 schools and, 11 marais.
Well, if confirmed, the changes would be implemented from next year. Just two stretches at Mount Maunganui's Te Maunga interchange would see increases to their existing permanent speed limits, each rising 10 kilometres from 70 to 80 kilometres an hour.
Yeah, Vanessa Brown, Waka Kotahi National Manager Program and Standards, reckons with more people travelling at speeds that are safe and appropriate for the road environment, we will see more inclusive, safer and more people-friendly towns and cities where we can all move around freely, no matter how we choose to travel.
If you're going in a car, you'll be quicker walking at this rate.
Yeah.
Because during the current 3-year National Land Transport Program funding period from 2021 to 2024, $2.9 billion is being invested in Road to Zero, which... it's not actually the roads. It's a campaign launched in 2019 with a vision of zero deaths and serious injuries on New Zealand roads. So under this Road to Zero, all road controlling agencies are being asked to take a look at speed management.
The National Transport spokesperson Simon Brown has slammed the announcement, saying Labor's plan is to slow New Zealanders down. He said reducing speed limits around the country is not the answer, calling for government to focus instead on road maintenance and road rule enforcement.
Yeah, well, from national, they pretty much let them go to crap anyway. But old Simeon Brown, should say, stated for the press, this is a short-sighted, quick-fix attempt to address the problem of road safety. It is simply overly simplistic and doesn't deal with underlying issues. This will simply increase travel times and make our rural communities more isolated. It's not good enough for the government to reduce speed limits rather than getting the basics right by addressing the appalling condition of our state highways, which have become peppered with potholes. Well, we have to agree with that.
Yeah, NZTA's Brown told One News this is about setting speed limits for state highways to make sure that people can go home safe and well at the end of the day. International research shows us that reducing or making speed safe is one of the key components that we need, along with infrastructure, driving behaviour and safer vehicles.
Yeah, well, internationally, the rules are a hell of a lot better than they are in New Zealand. Although many of the countries have higher speed limits because they have better roads. But, she continued, we've got a long-term vision of zero deaths and serious injuries on our roads, with an initial target of 40% reduction by 2030. So, people should feel safer. those using the road, whether they're driving, people walking, or yes, cycling as well.
Yeah, asked about potential pushbacks on the plan, Brown repeated, this is all about keeping people safe and well. We have a road toll which is higher than what is acceptable. It is an absolute tragedy. We all know people that have been impacted by losing the life of someone they love on the roads.
Well, no, of course, we can argue the fact people are dying on the roads. Things need to change, but it should be down to these guys making the safe frickin' roads to travel on at 100 without potholes and other degradation. And actually, we've seen a bit of road
yeah, well,
working around Invercargill.
Yeah, you know? It's like road working season started with a bang, because it's really like everywhere I go at the moment.
Well, Tweed Street's being resurfaced. They're just kind of scraping up the old ash pile and putting more down.
Yeah.
Was there some drainage up your area going in?
Yeah. And curbs outside Girls Hall.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, safety for the students.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, but yeah.
Hopefully these new resurfacing things last longer than frickin' transmission gully anyway.
Yes.
But time for a tune and BRB with a double shot of Tesla time.
Said,
We're back once more with Pete
and Aaron.
Right here on Grinding Gears, transmitting from Radio South, the 96.4, and Coast Access Radio Kapiti. And kicking off, apparently GM, General Motors, is fixing busted Teslas now.
Yeah, GM servicing has repaired about 11,180 Teslas since 2021. GM's President Mark Roos announced at the automaker's annual investor meeting last week. "That's a growing business for us," Roos told shareholders with a laugh. These customers brought their vehicles in for us to service because they know we have the expertise to fix them.
Yeah, well, the revelation came as the latest knock to Tesla's service model, exposing the not-so-proprietary nature of Tesla's supposedly proprietary electric vehicle technology. Owning a Tesla can mean enduring long waits and sometimes traveling long distances to book appointments at one of the company's 140 North American service center. Tesla infamously does not have dealerships where many car owners have gotten used to getting their vehicles repaired. So in contrast, Roos claims that GM service centers are within 12 miles of 90% of all U.S. residents. That's pretty good.
Yeah, the convenience of a local dealership plus GM's experience repairing its own electric vehicle fleet is apparently luring some Tesla owners. And there are quite a lot of busted Teslas out there. About a quarter of all Teslas sold have been recalled. Just in the past week, Tesla recalled 320,000 vehicles because the rear light failed to illuminate, and another 30,000 because passenger airbags wouldn't deploy correctly.
Right, we'll cover the American recall in more detail next week. Many of the mandated fixes will involve straightforward software updates, which, of course, Elon claims unfairly inflates the recall numbers. But Tesla owners sometimes just need help unlocking the doors, which we've covered in.
Yeah, you need a mallet. Which is maybe the other reason why Roos seems pleased to be fixing the cars at the GM dealerships. Tesla owners might pursue GM's electric vehicle offerings while they wait for a fix on their own Model X. If that wasn't bad enough, Tesla must recall over 80,000 vehicles in China due to battery and seatbelt issues.
The latest major recall to affect Tesla vehicles has been announced, and again in China, actually. The automaker must recall a total of 80,561 vehicles over dual recalls that affect battery management software and seatbelts. Probably two quite important aspects of an electric vehicle, huh?
Yeah, I reckon. China's market regulatory announced the recalls on Friday, but details on their faults that led to them remain very scarce. For the larger of the two recalls, though, the American automaker will have to recall 67,698 Model S sedans and Model X SUVs, according to CNBC.
Well, the issue affects imported vehicles built between September 25th, 2013, so way back then, and November 21st, 2020. An issue relating to battery management system in the vehicles is the cause of the recall, and Tesla says it will fix the issue with a free software update, which, yeah, you'd expect.
Yeah, for sure. The second recall will be a little bit harder to fix, because it is related to a potentially faulty seatbelt. It affects 2,736 imported Model 3 sedans built between January 21 and November 2022, as well as 10,127 Model 3s made in China between October 4, 2019 and 26 September 2022.
Issue stems from a potentially faulty installation of the seatbelt, for goodness sake, and owners will be asked to return the vehicle to a nearby Tesla location, where, yep, belts will be checked and reinstalled where necessary. Wonder how long I'll have to wait for that.
Yeah. Just the latest major Tesla recall in the market. Reuters report that the automaker was forced to recall a whopping 127,785 vehicles in April over a possible fault in semiconductor components. That's the semiconductors they're probably short of. That could have led to an actual collision.
Cranky, the recalls just keep on coming. But that's the end of the show, so we are going. Till next week, though, remember not to be a dick and make it click. We'll be right back.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.